Radio Prague News.
President Miloš Zeman has met with the U.S. ambassador to the Czech Republic, Stephen King. The government has approved compensation to the farmers who suffered losses due to last year's drought amounting to 2 billion crowns, and the Constitutional Court has called for minor modifications to the anti-smoking law introduced in the Czech Republic last year. President Miloš Zeman met with the U.S. ambassador to the Czech Republic, Stephen King, at Prague Castle on Wednesday. According to the president's spokesman Jiří Ovčáček, the talks focused on bilateral relations and international developments, as well as the 100th anniversary of the foundation of Czechoslovakia. Ambassador King, who replaced Andrew Shapiro in the post, handed his credentials to President Zeman last December. President Zeman's relations with the previous ambassador were strained after Andrew Shapiro expressed reservations about Zeman's presence at the victory celebration in Moscow in 2015, in spite of most European leaders' decision to shun the event due to the annexation of Crimea by Russia. The government has approved compensation to the farmers who suffered losses due to last year's drought amounting to 2 billion crowns. Deputy Prime Minister Richard Brabec announced the news at a press conference on Wednesday. Another 208 million crowns will go to fruit growers whose harvest was damaged by spring frosts last year. The Ministry of Agriculture will also earmark 141 million crowns for building irrigation systems. According to Mr. Brabec, the compensation represents just a fraction of the overall damage caused by weather conditions last year, which amounted to about 12 billion crowns. The Defence and Foreign Affairs Committees of the Lower House of Parliament have both called on the government to make greater efforts regarding the situation in Syria. The heads of the departments, Lubomír Zaorálek and Jana Černochová, made the announcement after the committee's joint meeting on Wednesday. According to the committees, the cabinet should also offer Czech army experts to investigate the chemical attacks in Syria. Mrs. Černochová said the Czech Republic had a unique opportunity to affect peace negotiations in the country, being one of the few Western countries which still has an embassy in Damascus. The Constitutional Court has called for minor modifications to the anti-smoking law introduced in the Czech Republic in June 2016. The court scrapped a provision banning the sale of alcohol to those who might likely injure themselves and the sale of alcohol and tobacco at events aimed at children. The main aspects of the ban remain in force, including a total ban on smoking in restaurants and other public places. The court was called to deal with the matter by a group of senators led by Marek Benda of the Civic Democrats. Lawmakers in the Chamber of Deputies elected ANO party MP Jiří Mašek to head the Standing Parliamentary Commission overseeing the Police General Inspectorate. Mr. Mašek's election was criticised by the opposition parties, who say the Prime Minister and ANO party leader Andrej Babiš tries to gain control over the country's security corps. The previous head of the commission, Zdeněk Ondráček, a former riot police officer who beat pro-democracy demonstrators in Czechoslovakia in 1989, stepped down following demonstration across the Czech Republic and a motion for his removal. And finally, a quick look at the weather. Thursday is expected to be mostly sunny with daytime highs reaching up to 25 degrees Celsius. I'm Ruth Franková and that's the end of the news.
You are listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. I'm Daniela Lazarová. Coming up in today's program, why is the government concerned about the fate of the Ostrava Steelworks? A new statue is installed in St. Vitus Cathedral, and the Central European auto sector seeks to drive changes to EU-wide emission limits. All that coming up, so please stay with us. The biggest Czech steelmaker and its home city of Ostrava are concerned they could be hit by a major ownership upheaval in the European steelmaking sector, and the Czech government is keeping close tabs on talks surrounding the fate of ArcelorMittal Ostrava. Chris Johnston reports.
More than 1,600 kilometres separate the southern Italian port city of Taranto and the gritty eastern Moravian Silesian city of Ostrava. But the fate of the two are now closely bound, with global steel multinational ArcelorMittal seeking to acquire the massive Italian steelmaker Ilva and its steel plant on the heel of Italy. Part of the price of European Commission clearance for the deal looks like being the sell-off of other steelmaking capacity across the continent, including the Ostrava plant. And that's the source of major worries for Ostrava and for the Czech government. Brussels is worried that ArcelorMittal might simply control too much of European steel production, especially the flat products used to make everything from cars to the steel used in the construction sector. And although the sell-ups likely to demand it of ArcelorMittal are aimed at boosting competition, ownership changes are always risky, and the Czech government is particularly worried that a speculative investor might want to control the Ostrava steelmaker and not have its long-term interests at heart. That's one reason why the general manager of ArcelorMittal Ostrava, Ashok Patil, met with Czech Minister for Industry and Trade, Tomáš Hüner, and gave what assurances he could about the situation.
We assured the minister that even in a case of a divestment scenario, Ostrava Steel Works would continue to operate in full. There is no threat of reduction of capacity and related jobs. We agreed with the minister that we will be in close touch and work on the subsequent steps as we learn more from the decision. Of course, the subsequent steps would be supervised and we work under the guidance of the European Commission. But we will be in close touch with Honourable Minister to discuss the steps and have a constant dialogue.
Mr. Patil elaborated that one of Brussels' targets should be to see a thriving Ostrava Steelworks in whoever's hands it might end up.
When the Commission is reviewing the process of the remedy, they want to see more competition in the European market. So which means the investments or the divestments, the units under divestment, they need to run fully and be able to stand alone in the European market and compete.
The Ostrava Steelworks and its subsidiaries employ around 7,250, paying above average wages in a city and region still suffering from higher than average jobless rates. And the fate of other key local employers, such as coking coal producer OK There, are also closely tied to the steel plant. That's why Industry Minister Hüner has created a team of experts to keep in close touch with developments affecting the steel plant. The key European Commission analysis of the divestments to mate in connection with ArcelorMittal's Ilva acquisition should be released on May 23rd.
Prague's St. Vitus Cathedral has gotten a new group of statues depicting the saints Wojciech, Radim and Radla. The idea for the statues goes all the way back to 1936. In 1947, a plaster version was installed, but the work was removed a year later when the communists assumed power in Czechoslovakia. Jan Wellinger has the details.
The work installed at St. Vitus' Cathedral is closely connected to Cardinal Josef Beran, when he was still the Archbishop of Prague. The work depicting St. Wojciech is to be unveiled in a special ceremony on Thursday, a day before the cardinal's remains are to be returned from the Vatican, where he was buried in the crypt of St. Peter's Basilica. The statue of the saints is not plastered this time, but cast in silver, rare for a statue of this size, which would usually or normally be cast in bronze. The work was cast in two pieces, and it was transported to the Czech capital on Tuesday. In all, the statues weigh 320 kilos. The cast in silver was done from a wax copy of the design, artistic caster Pavel Horák explained.
To cast something like this in silver is very unusual. I looked into it and I don't think there is anything like it, not only in Europe, but the world. Nobody did anything like this.
The statue in more than 20 parts was then sent to an artistic works in Bushkehrad, where its employees worked on it for 2 months. Ivan Hoska is the owner of that local firm, which specializes in restoration work.
They sent a pile of silver casts, dirty, unpolished and unrefined. We had to chisel away parts and then weld it all together.
The original plaster model was created by Karel Vobíšek but was removed by the communists in 1948. The Prague Archbishopric began planning the commission for the sculptures to be recast and returned already in 2010, and the bishopric paid roughly 6 million crowns for the work. Originally, the statues were to be installed in St. Vitus's Cathedral only this autumn, but in the end, the process was sped up to coincide with the return to Prague of Cardinal Beran's remains later this week. The Cardinal's remains will be flown to the Czech Republic on Friday and will be buried in Prague's St. Vitus's Cathedral, which is the final resting place of cardinals and kings, the next day. This in accordance with the Cardinal's original last wishes. Cardinal Joseph Beran was a symbol of resistance during the communist regime, and he was exiled to Rome in 1965, where he later died. He was buried in Rome because the communist authorities did not approve the return of his body then to his homeland.
Jan Wellinger with that report, and a reminder that you're with Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. Auto associations from the Czech Republic, Slovakia, Poland and Hungary have met in Prague to compare their responses to crucial European proposals for further curbing emissions of key pollutants. The future emission limits are clearly aimed at paving the way for low-emission and no-emission vehicles such as electric cars, and that represents a radical challenge to the sector across the region. Chris Johnson has more.
Cars are reckoned to be responsible for around 12% of Europe's carbon dioxide emissions. It's no big surprise, then, that the European Commission is seeking more curbs than the current pollution limits from both cars and vans in the near future. In a proposal unveiled in November last year, the proposal was made for a 30% drop in CO2 emissions by 2030 compared with those planned for 2021. And to make sure there's no last-minute rush to deliver those cuts, a midway target of a 15% reduction is being sought for 2025. And the proposal also involves incentives for car manufacturers to start switching production to low and zero-emission cars as soon as possible. Those car makers which exceed proposed targets for manufacturing zero and low emission vehicles, with the benchmark set at 15% of new cars in 2025 and 30% for 2030, will be rewarded with lower CO2 targets overall. The overall package is part of the European Union's moves to fulfil its Paris climate change commitments aimed at combating climate change, and it clearly comprises both an element of the stick and the carrot. One of the manufacturing revolutions in the past 20 years has been the modernisation and tooling up of the Central European car manufacturing and component sector to now represent a sizeable force in the European industry overall. South Korean, Japanese and US car manufacturers have also launched plants in the region, and dozens of components companies have flocked in. Slovakia stands out as the country with most at stake, with 13% of its GDP bound up in the sector and the biggest per capita rate of car production in the world. Hungary follows with 10% and the Czech Republic third with 9% of GDP. Poland comes a long way behind with around 3.8% of annual national wealth creation stemming from car and van production. And auto industry associations from all countries have problems with the Commission proposal, while of course stating they're on board as regards the general target of cutting carbon dioxide emissions overall. Meeting at a so-called Visegrad 4 Auto Summit in Prague at the end of last week, this is how Poland's Auto Industries Association, Jakub Faris, described the situation facing the country's producers.
For last 100 years, the idea of car was more or less the same. Four wheels, engine, transmission, seats, body, brakes, steering wheel. Of course, I'm talking about the idea, not how the car looks like. And today we are in front of big change. I don't want to say that it's a revolution, but for sure it's evolution. And our countries, we should find a place in this evolution, probably in nearest year's revolution. That's very important that we will find a place in this new reality.
The new reality the car makers clearly see on the horizon is the demise of the internal combustion engine as they've known it for more than 100 years. The writing is clearly on the wall. The problems with diesel cars and moves in many cities to ban them is just a taster. And the European Commission proposal to encourage the take-up of electric cars and hybrids clearly shows which way they're leaning. Bohdan Vojna is president of the Czech Automobile Association, Auto SAP.
The emission targets and other parameters will have a fundamental impact on future automobile production. It will have a significant influence on our future economy, employment and education. The automobile industry in the Visegrad region directly employs almost 640,000 and indirectly around 2.3 million. Therefore, for us, it is fundamental how ambitious the targets are and what the timetable is. If targets are agreed, which are close to the Commission's original proposal, then producers from around 2025 will be forced to produce large amounts of cars with zero emissions.
And those midterm 2025 targets are one of the constructors' biggest problems. They argue that they'll only know the precise emission limits in 2022, and this will not be enough to give them enough lead time to react. The Visegrad 4 countries just want the longer-term 2030 target to apply. And instead of the proposed 30% target there, they argue that a 20% reduction in emissions would be more realistic. They also add that the Commission proposal will probably discriminate between different types of low-emission vehicles, possibly penalising some options such as hybrid vehicles, which could be a valuable transition to full-blown electric cars. Clearly, one of the auto sector's major concerns is being committed to producing low- and zero-emission vehicles without knowing how well the preparations for such vehicles will play out, since many other players, not just the manufacturers, are involved in that. And that's a big issue for the Central European constructors, since electric cars have so far not been one of their biggest priorities, and electric car sales have been slow, to say the least. A few numbers illustrate the point. Poland leads the pact with just under 46,000 electric cars sold so far. The Czech Republic comes second with 7,900 cars. Hungary has 7,500 electric cars registered, and Slovakia just over 3,600. So one of the things the car makers are looking for is clear government support for the rollout of electric cars and low-emission vehicles, such as tax incentives that will help their sales and the infrastructure, such as charging stations, that they will require. Poland's Jakub Harris again.
We have to remember one thing, that if we are talking, for example, about electric vehicles, every country in Europe where is quite big sales of this type of vehicle, those vehicles are supported by the government, means by the taxpayers. So if there is the political and social decision that we have to split for the electric vehicle, for example, it must be support in the beginning. The question is how long. It's not a direct support, meaning as a paying for electric vehicles or something like that, but make a system supporting idea to have, for example, the electric vehicles or new mobility or whatever you say. Because as I told before, we are talking about the new reality. And we exactly don't know for the moment how it looks like within 2050, for example.
And the large amounts of uncertainty wrapped up in this evolution, re-evolution or revolution means that the automakers want the Commission targets qualified by so-called conditionality mechanisms, which would allow the goalposts to be altered to, quote, market reality. They don't want to be landed with more low-emission and electric car production than they can offload on final customers. The countries from all EU countries are not exactly on the same page at the moment on what they want from the European Commission and how they should react to these emission proposals. The result of the V4 summit suggests these four countries are speaking more or less with the same voice. But are national governments on board as well? And will they push the car and van makers' positions when it comes to final debates on the proposals in the European Council, where countries get their say? Bojdan Vojna believes that the Czech government is already supportive and backs that up with the evidence that the current caretaker government has said it will support a long-term framework for the development for the auto sector in the Czech Republic that should be reviewed and fleshed out by the end of this year.
If I should speak about the Czech Republic, I think generally we have very good cooperation with industry ministry on this topic and we can very closely align our positions.
Vojna also points out to very close cooperation with Slovakia, but suggests Hungary and Poland might have some catching up to do to ensure their governments fully understand the sector's concerns.
I think we should a little bit improve this discussion in our countries as well, because in other countries, there is a little bit different situation, but traditionally we have very good cooperation with the Slovak Republic as well. There is a really deep exchange of information, and hopefully we can a little bit extend it to Hungary and Poland as well.
Chris Johnson reporting there, and now it's time for another part in our Hit of the Century series.
Hit of the Century.
And we've come to the year 1990. 1990 brought about a great decrease in all Czech cultural activities. People did not go so much to theatres, cinemas or concerts, and instead they watched the news and followed the country's political developments. Some were nervous that the changes brought by November 1989 would not last. Others were shaken by the thought of losing their position in the previous regime. Regardless, mass media provided an outlet for artists and bands suppressed during communism, including Tichá dohoda, Vltava, Mňága až Ďorb, Psí vojáci, Orlík, Precedens, Bára Basíková, J.A.R. and Michal Viktorík. Change took place incredibly fast and forbidden records such as those by Karel Kryl and Marta Kubišová were quickly released. Albums featuring previously overlooked groups such as Orlík or Tři sestry began to be released on vinyl and cassette tapes. They were also broadcast on commercial radio stations. The Czech band Oceán became extremely popular with its song Rachel. The group's frontman, Petr Muk, was a highly esteemed author of that at the time. So have a listen to it now. Here it is, Rachel, with the group Oceán.
Hvězdu na čele máš, barvu žlutou má, kam se podíváš, má Ráchel. Smutná, smutná je černá, smutná, smutná je černá. Na čele máš barvu žlutou má, kam se podíváš, má Ráchel. Stéká slza tvá, stéká slza tvá. Na čele máš, majster, kdo se na
1990 hit song in our Hit of the Century poll, and of course you'll hear all of this week's songs in the running in Radio Prague's Sunday Music Show. And I'm afraid that's brought us to the end of today's programme from Prague. You'll find us online at radio.cz. Should you like to contact us, please send a mail to english@radio.cz. And of course, you can also follow Radio Prague on Facebook and Twitter. This is Danielle Lazarová saying thanks for joining us today and take care.